We fight for a political program that serves humanity, not the inhumane interests of the wealthy and corporate greed. Part of that means not falling for division. It's an old trick the billionaires play, and it's effective. Time and time again, the wealthy divide the masses over single issues, and the rich walk away with all the loot. They try to divide us by gender. They act like how you live your life or your gender identity is a threat to the person on the assembly line next to you or the work site next to you. They talk about who you love, who you marry, which bathroom you use, so they don't have to talk about who you work for, where the profits go, and who benefits. They try to divide us nationally, by nationality. Right now, we have millions of people being told that the biggest threat to their livelihood is migrants coming over the border. The threat we face at the border isn't from the migrants. It's from the billionaires and the politicians getting working people to point the finger at one another when in reality, we're all on the same side of the war against the working class.
The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful sweary.
And now...
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Again?
Rocking up my sleeve. Presto! No doubt about it. I gotta get another hat.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-faced, dickhead, asshole!
You're listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. Joining me this week from the world's greatest comic book podcast, J.C. Carter.
Hello.
And from the world's greatest relationship podcast, I Told You So, Tiffany.
Hi, happy to be here.
Yeah, you, look, it's no secret to people that are listening that you have a new trick.
Is it a trick?
Is it? Let's call it that. That makes it sound a little less terrifyingly severe.
Whatever works. Yeah. Call it a trick.
So we'll talk about this. I mean, we talked about it on the show on I Told You So last week.
Yeah.
And I will probably talk to you about it again. But you've been going through some health difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
You've been having, I believe the scientific term is a shit ton of seizures over the last few weeks.
It sure feels like it.
It started out as like a couple from time to time, and now it seems like it's every half an hour.
Yeah.
So if at any moment there's a strange break in the conversation where I've had to stop and start again, you'll know why. I will probably exclaim as well. But we're just going to kind of see how it goes. Taylor went down to Vegas for a scooter rally.
Oh, fun.
I don't think so.
Why?
Because the wind down there is worse than it is up here. There was a video I saw earlier today of a sort of a rooftop pool.
Yeah.
And all of the furniture was flying off the side of the fucking building. It was so windy.
Did she drive down or ride down?
I'm not sure. I think she flew down.
Oh, okay.
You know, but I don't know. You know,
I mean, if she, I can't imagine her riding all the way down there on her scoot.
Yeah,
and if
40
she did
miles
yesterday,
an hour.
Yeah, if she did yesterday, that was not a good thing.
She's
particularly too, as she got into the evening hours.
Yeah, yeah. She's too little for that. She doesn't. Mm-hmm. Not like us, we Nordic polar men.
Yes.
That have built out our insulation to brave these harsh winters here in Utah.
Okay.
Fucking 60 degrees yesterday, for Christ's sake. Mm-hmm. You know, and then it's like, hey, want some rain? Snow.
So bizarre.
Here's a fucking blizzard blowing from the south.
Yeah. It was weird. It was weird snowy day. I was coming home from work and it was a whiteout. I couldn't see 200-300 yards in front of me, mm-hmm. you know, and that of course made everybody drive 30 miles an yeah. hour on the freeway, which I believe Idiots. Is far more dangerous, especially considering that I was in a hurry, mm-hmm. but so, okay. Let me wrap up with a little bit of business. We have a lot of links to cover today, but it is my belief that this will end up being a shorter than normal show. Because they're all pretty quick. But I did my best. But I want to talk about the big fundraiser right now. We are trying desperately to open a studio so that we can mm-hmm. not only continue to make the shows that we make, but make new shows and make shows for other people. I had mentioned last week that one of the things that I like to do is work with charities and nonprofits to bring them top shelf agency quality work, you know, at a more reasonable price so that they can actually message with the content. I mean, that's just sort of it, is that it becomes cost prohibitive to do it right. So you do it wrong and then your message doesn't work the way it's supposed to. And mm-hmm. so that's one of the things. The other thing is, and I think this is emotionally more present, and that's Forrest made me promise that I'd do this, and he made me promise that I would do this years ago, and I didn't, partly because I was sad and who the fuck is he to leave me. But we had for his memorial this poster of him sitting with a microphone, big happy smile on his face. One of the ways that I really like to remember him, and several people asked if they could have that poster. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, we're going to be hanging that in the office when we open it. Forrest made me promise to open an office. And the time between then and now has been unpredictable and difficult. Mm-hmm. You know, it is unpredictable and difficult now. On the other hand, I could see the way to make it work, and I could see the benefit of it for both us and the listener, and to help me fulfill a promise to a friend who died well before his time, and to give me literally somewhere to hang that fucking poster. So if you guys would pop over to theleftshow.com and throw a little help behind this fundraiser, I would very much appreciate it. With that said, if you guys have anything to add, now would be a good time. If not, let's move forward, shall we? So, Mitch McConnell. I called this, 2 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. Mitch McConnell supported the bipartisan border deal.
Yes.
He helped put it together. He pushed it in a direction. He stuck a guy on it, yada, yada, yada. It came out. He's like, well, this is a really good idea. Dear. Somebody nudge the Mitch. He's bouncing again. And so I said, well, that's it for him. And now he has said that he will stop being the top U.S. Senate Republican as soon as Election Day rolls around this year. He will apparently finish his term.
Usually I don't believe it when they say that, but I actually believe this one.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That he'll finish his term?
He's going to step down.
Yeah. I believe,
everybody was like, ooh, he's leaving. I'm like, he's not leaving. Oh, I don't think he's leaving. He's stepping down majority leader.
Pelosi didn't leave.
Yeah.
You know, McConnell did. Sissy. But no, really what it comes down to is I don't know, one, who's going to replace him. But let's take a moment, shall we, and kind of look at Mitch McConnell over the years. Not only did he literally steal a Supreme Court seat from a duly and fairly elected president for his own justification, he then, in direct opposition to what he said about stealing that seat, went ahead and ran Amy Coney Barrett through in record time. Everything he does is party political motivated. His entire fucking MO from the minute he showed up in the Senate was to get conservative judges on federal courts. Yep. And that's what he's done. And he will do anything to do it. And the way that we end up with a Supreme Court the way it is now, where it has decided to give Donald Trump basically a fucking stay on one of his bigger, more important cases. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just completely sunk the legitimacy of the court itself. Mm-hmm. He's damaged America. He's fucked up our institutions, all of that so that his party could just do anything they could to maintain power, including he had an opportunity as he steps down because he's being forced by his fucking caucus to step aside because he's not an asshole enough. Mitch McConnell's not an asshole enough for the current fucking Republicans. Are you shitting me? But because of that, he had a chance to take care of the Trump problem once and for all twice. Two goddamn times, and both times he decided that was not good for the Republican image, the Republican brand, and so he let him go. And now he's finally paying some sort of a fucking price. Not that I think he's going to live through his term. I really don't. I think the guy is in his last 5 minutes, you know, but when history looks back on the Trump years and how bad they are and all of that, they really, really need to take a second and just staple Mitch McConnell to here's where half of the problem started. The other half belonging to fucking Newt Gingrich. You know?
So, I mean, and here's the thing. We had one of the best presidents in our lifetime in the White House. And McConnell said, I'm going to make him a one-term president, and was just fighting every fucking thing he tried to pass to where he had to completely rewrite things that would have benefited the American people so that they would be appealing to Republicans. And a lot of times they still get rejected. I remember we looked at one of Obama's bills and we're like, where are the grants for this particular? There should be grants in here. And there were no grants. It was all loan. Well, I'm like, this was clearly written for Republicans. And then they refused to pass it. Because it was Obama's bill. And I'm like, and to me, more than anything else, more than Ronald Reagan, more than Fox News, Rush Limbaugh, any of that stuff from the 80s and 90s, the thing that really helped usher in Donald Trump was just that overall Republican, we hate Obama, he's wrong for the country, and just they just kept driving that and getting it pushed out back out through their propaganda networks like Fox News and that, but it was all McConnell, in my opinion.
I'll give you.
Yeah.
So
honestly, I hadn't even heard of Yertle the Turtle McConnell until he said that about Obama, and I'm like, what the fuck? Who's this guy picking on my president?
He's a good president. I miss that fella.
Me too. Yep.
So Matt Gaetz, Republican from Statutoryville. Celebrated the news that Leader McConnell is stepping down from his leadership post, recounting the recent shakeups across the Republican Party. The Florida Republican said that McConnell, the current Republican National Committee Chair, Ronna McDaniel, and former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, all got 86th. He says, we've now 86th McConnell, McCarthy, McDaniel. Better days are ahead for the Republican Party, he says. Gaetz has continued to throw barbs at McCarthy, proving their animosity was not settled by McCarthy fucking taking his ball and going home. Mm-hmm. Gates had issues with McCarthy saying that he was breaking promises. Gates's Wednesday reaction is similar to the one he had after the 2022 midterms when his party failed to produce an anticipated red wave that would have given him Republican Party a bigger advantage in the lower chamber. He mocked the three-party leaders then, writing McCarthy, McConnell, McDaniel, McFailure, which pisses me off because it's pretty fucking good. You know, I would have got there on my own if I gave a shit about him.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. But yeah, McFailure. That's fucking great. Hey, speaking of McFailures, Donald Trump is unable to cover the $454 million fraud judgment against him. He has offered to post $100 million in bond, which I believe is, hang on, let me do the math here. Cover that, carry that. $354 million short of what he owes.
Is that like when people come into your shop and ask to buy comic books for a cheaper price?
Yeah, they're like, what kind of discount can you give me on this? And I'm like,
can I get this for 50 cents?
I am a retail outlet. I am a legitimate store. I am not a flea market. But yeah,
it's like asking your credit card company for a payoff amount and saying, well, yeah, I owe $20,000 on my credit card, but can I pay off? Can I pay $1,000 and have it just have you write the rest off? And then they have to admit that's actually a legit thing people ask all the time. So I can see why Trump tried to pull this one, but you know, yeah,
I can just see him emptying out his pockets. Can you take this much?
All I got's $100 million on me right now. Can you take it?
Let's see. I got a McDonald's wrapper. I got $1.35. I don't know where that 35 came from.
Change.
A little bit of lint. Let's see. I got some classified documents that I'm not supposed to have. What is that? Oh, it is a copy of the DVD of Stormy Daniels' latest release. I don't know how that got in here. We'll put that aside. You know, what else?
Here's the Time magazine with my face on it that's seen more than it ever should.
Yeah, I've been spanked with that. Here's the pee-pee mattress. What else do I have? So Donald Trump proposed Wednesday to post a $100 million bond while appealing what he called an exorbitant and punitive $454 million fraud judgment. It is punitive, dummy. You're being punished for lying and cheating. It is punitive.
It was kind of supposed to be that way, buddy.
Is it exorbitant? Well, only until you look at the math of what you stole from the people of New York. And that really is the way people ought to be looking at this. You stole from the people of New York by being a lion sack of dog shit, you racist motherfucker. Yeah. A New York judge on February 16th ordered the former president and his namesake company to pay the government for ill-gotten gains from overstating the value of his real estate. The verdict also barred Trump from doing business in New York for 3 years, which includes borrowing from New York-based banks. While Trump appeals the judgment.
All of them.
Yep, pretty much. While Trump appeals the judgment, he's asking to postpone paying the full amount because he would have trouble posting the entire amount.
Do you think he had to call one of his kids, like Ivanka?
Well, that's the thing, is they've got billions now. She got $630 million in Chinese patents while he was president. They've got the money.
Yeah.
Those two do.
Yeah.
You know.
Ivanka and Jared.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I just think Putin ought to pay for it since he's paid for every goddamn thing else for this man.
I think so, too. No, I saw a meme with it was Ivanka and Jared walking somberly, and Jared's like, your dad wants us to help him pay that $454 million, and she said, who?
No kidding.
Yep, that'll do it.
Yep.
An Indiana ban on gender affirming care for minors went into immediate effect last week. Court ruled so on Tuesday. U.S. Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals issued a stay on Tuesday that lifted an injunction from a lower court. The injunction, which was granted in June 2023, blocked a passed bill that banned gender-affirming care for Hoosiers under the age of 18. Hoosiers. I mean, really, Joe Schroeder, who wrote this article.
He had to throw the reference in.
Really? Did he? I don't think he did. I think this is more important than the tongue-in-cheek bullshit this motherfucker is painting in this goddamn article. Yeah, it's a great movie. It's a wonderful movie. And it should be left alone as a movie and not as a fucking punchline for some hack fucking writer at a local goddamn TV station to be a smartass about fucking kids that can't see their doctors.
Also, there are other universities in Indiana than Indiana State. So
there you go.
Not everybody in Indiana is a Hoosier, I imagine. Just like not everybody in Utah is a Ute or a Cougar. You know,
some of us are Aggies.
Mm-hmm.
Not us. Me personally.
Not me. No.
No. What's the other one? Wildcats? Is that Weber
State?
Weber State.
Yeah, that's Wildcats. Thunderbirds down in southern Utah.
Okay. The missionaries from up at BYU Rexburg.
Yeah,
I think that's what they are. Missionaries, door knockers.
I am a Wolverine and a Ute. That's what I am. So
it is. Oh, that Wolverines! Was. That's from the UVCC, right?
Yep, Utah Valley University. Yeah.
I didn't know we were Wolverines. I would have worn that on a T-shirt. Holy shit!
Isn't that recently new though?
Oh, maybe. No.
We were Wolverines when we were there.
Oh, really?
Well, you were. I didn't know I was.
Yeah, there was a giant brass Wolverine mascot in the hallway.
I was looking at girls.
That's fair.
And you know that that's true.
I do. I believe you missed that. I believe you missed looking at that statue for your entire time there. Yes, I believe.
Fuck it. I probably thought it was a badger. Yeah. I don't know. I never did anything in any of the sports facilities they had. Oh, I did. I built a set in one once.
Yes.
I did. I with Douchebag Manning.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had me help him build a set, and we hauled it down there in the big truck. Nobody but me knew how to drive. And double clutch, folks. Learn it. You never know when that's going to come in handy. And
no shit.
It did once.
I don't know how to drive a double clutch.
It's easy. You clutch in, you change out, you clutch again, you go in. And same backwards. It's just a pain in the ass. It's the way old manual transmissions worked on those bigger trucks. And they ended up, as I recall the story, they ended up driving the truck back from Idaho in second gear because they didn't. Shit. Yeah. So they're 30 miles an hour the whole fucking way.
Oh,
I'm surprised
God.
They didn't burn out the transmission. And they're like, we're not sure what the blah, 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 and this and that and the other is. And I'm like, it's a double clutch. Then I was like 16.
And you figured that out.
Then I'm like, oh, it's a double clutch. They're like, how the fuck do you know that? Well, they didn't say that. They said, how do you know that? I'm like, my mom used to be a truck driver. My stepmom drove truck for a few years, and she's the one that taught me about double clutches. Hmm. So
my uncle was a long-distance truck driver. That was his CB handle, double clutch.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. When they moved up to the ones that didn't require double clutching, but you could speed shift.
Yeah.
His son-in-law was driving with him. He was sleeping he climbed in the back to go to sleep. His son-in-law was driving with him, and he was like, okay, I'm going to do the speed shift. And he goes to do the speed shift. He grinds it. And from the back, he hears my uncle just yell out, use the clutch. So yeah, double clutch. Absolutely, man.
So as of Tuesday, February 27th, Indiana law prohibits medical providers from providing gender-affirming health care to any state resident under the age of 18, including the definition of gender-affirming care is gender transitioning surgeries, which aren't a thing for people under 18, hormone treatments, which are, and puberty blockers, which are insanely important, especially for kids that are having gender dysphoria.
Mm-hmm.
Puberty blockers save my kid's life. Hormone treatments.
Or for parents who fed their children a lot of McDonald's in their youth and then are don't want their 10-year-old to suddenly start her period.
I mean, I grant your point.
there are literally women, you know, suburban women who are like, they go to their doctors for puberty blockers because they're like, I don't want her to start her period now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they can't do that anymore in Indiana.
Yeah.
And then just to finish up before we go to break. A Kentucky bill stripping workers of meals and rest breaks is moving forward. House Bill 500, sponsored by Georgetown Republican Philip Pratt, would eliminate the requirement that employers provide lunch breaks and rest breaks. This the year after, what was it? Texas took away if you're blowing in the microphone, and I don't know why.
I was just like, I wonder what the Department of Labor will have to say about this.
Yeah, I think it was either Florida or Texas that took away the requirement for companies to provide water during outdoor work.
What?
Right.
Yeah.
And OSHA came down hard on them for that. I know that. So.
Ridiculous.
Yep. So, yeah, Kentucky. Shut up and work. I mean, don't get me wrong. I get that from time to time, too. I will sit down a few minutes each shift, you know, but you get caught sitting down. It's always like, why aren't you doing something? It's like, because you know what? I'm old and my knees hurt. I need a minute.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it for this block. We're going to come back with the B block, which I imagine will be very short, promiscuous, and a little bit dirty.
I'm Chris Jakimick. I served in the United States Air Force, and I deployed 3 times. Being a veteran, it's interwoven into your DNA, is really the absence of the connection and the purpose that can really drive a lot of veterans to some negative thoughts. For those who are in a suicidal crisis, the window of time to save somebody's life is very short. Our duty is to protect ourselves and protect our families. And one way you can do that is store your weapons safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And Tiffany.
I just wanted to talk to you for a second about Patreon. At Patreon, you get special content every week that we record. We do a show on Patreon just for you, the listener. Now, what do we get in exchange for that? Cash money.
We're not rappers. I don't know what to do that. Cash money. Money rules everything around us.
It really does. It absolutely does. Including the cost to host these shows. That's all this pays for. We don't do anything else fun with it because we still don't make enough in Patreon to cover the cost of hosting the shows. So why don't you join us? It's a lot of fun. We're a little more inappropriate. We're a little more ribald. We're a little more risible.
Sometimes we're a little more high.
Yes.
Definitely more high.
Definitely more high. So join us over at patreon.com/defenmedia. Patreon.com/defenmedia.
You are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
Lauren Boebert.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Was a victim of some bad timing on Tuesday. The Colorado congresswoman decided to show off her MAGA bona fides with a post on Twitter attacking the, quote, Biden crime family, end quote, as, quote, the most corrupt politician or political family in American history, end quote. Obviously wrong.
Yeah.
But that's not the fun.
You still have the Kennedys.
You know what? Yeah, you're right. I mean, I'm over here thinking about the Bush family. I'm thinking about the Trump family and all that. And I was like, oh, yeah, the fucking Kennedys. They were pretty bad, too.
Kennedys, the Kennedys kind of beat most of them, except for maybe the Trump family. Yeah.
Yeah, the Kennedys, well, the Kennedys weren't taking
Kennedys
money
got
from
up
Russia.
To the same stuff the Trump family did. They just hit it better.
I don't think fucking JFK had to pay anybody to not talk about having a disappointing sexual experience. I'm pretty sure if Stormy Daniels was going to be like, fuck yeah, Donald Trump was the best ever, I don't think he would have paid the hush money. I think it was like, yeah, that tiny pencil dick gave me 2 minutes of boredom. She's like, I'll give you $130,000 to not tell anybody that.
Ivanka, this is your father. Do you have some money I can borrow?
So
I'm sorry. Who are you? New phone. Who dis?
Now look, what happens next? Show off her MAGA bona fides with a post on Twitter attacking the, quote, Biden crime family, end quote, as, quote, the most corrupt politician or political family in American history, end quote. Obviously wrong.
Yeah.
But That's not the fun.
You still have the Kennedys.
You know what? Yeah, you're right. I mean, I'm over here thinking about the Bush family. I'm thinking about the Trump family and all that. And I was like, oh, yeah, the fucking Kennedys. They were pretty bad, too.
Kennedys, the Kennedys kind of beat most of them, except for maybe the Trump family. Yeah.
Yeah, the Kennedys, well, the Kennedys weren't taking
Kennedys
money from Russia.
The same stuff the Trump family did, they just hit it better.
I don't think fucking JFK had to pay anybody to not talk about having a disappointing sexual experience. I'm pretty sure if Stormy Daniels was going to be like, fuck yeah, Donald Trump was the best ever, I don't think he would have paid the hush money. I think it was like, yeah, that tiny pencil dick gave me 2 minutes of boredom. He's like, I'll give you $130,000 to not tell anybody that.
Ivanka, this is your father. Do you have some money I can borrow?
So
I'm sorry. Who are you? New phone. Who dis?
Now look, what happens next? What happens next? I don't condone dragging the children of politicians into a political discussion. However, the more I read about this kid, the more I'm like, yeah, I don't mind. You know, like, I would never take a swing at fucking Barron Trump. That kid's done nothing to me. He's done nothing to anybody, as far as I know. So, you know, I think that making fun of him is in bad taste. I think expressing concern for whether or not anybody loves him and pays attention to him, I think that's valid as hell.
Mm-hmm.
However, hours after posting her tweet attacking the Bidens for alleged corruption, accusations that are still unsubstantiated, Boebert's son, Tyler, was arrested on 22 separate charges, including 4 felony counts of criminal possession of ID documents, 1 felony count of conspiracy to commit a felony, and 15 misdemeanors and petty offenses. Boebert's estranged husband, Jay's son, because he spells it weird, was arrested in January for third-degree criminal trespass, obstruction, disorderly conduct in connection with an altercation between a couple at a Colorado restaurant. In addition, wasn't it Jay's son Boebert that pulled his wiener out in front of a bunch of teenage kids at a bowling alley?
Yes, it was.
And got in trouble for that. That was Jason. Anyway, she put out a statement saying, I love my son who's been through some difficulties. Public challenges for a young man, the subject of attention he didn't ask for, breaks my heart, blah, blah, blah. I'll never give up on him.
What does that sound like? That sounds like somebody else that's, you know, another politician. I think it's that Joe Biden guy. It sounds a lot like what he said about his own son.
Yeah, I love my kid.
Yeah, I love my kid. I feel bad that he's having to go through this, and, you know.
But it gets worse. But it gets worse.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll probably come back to this, but we got a few Twitter results on that, and this is after the Biden crime family tweet. Somebody put, I guess Lauren Boebert posted this before the police station called her to come bail out her kid, aged like a bowl of milk on a Death Valley trailer roof. She posted this the same day her son got arrested and hit with 22 criminal charges, including 5 felonies. Might want to deal with the actual Boebert crime family first. My favorite is from Rick Wilson that says, are you okay? Thoughts and prayers in your hour of need.
Yeah.
But, she says that her son's arrest breaks her heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Says that it breaks her heart. His arrest comes about 6 weeks after his dad was arrested, you know, and all of that. And then Lauren Boebert's son apparently made a sex tape with his fellow subject. Tyler Boebert supposedly made a sex tape with fellow suspect who was a female minor, according to an affidavit following his arrest. Boebert, the adult son of Lauren Boebert, was arrested, blah, blah, blah. None of the charges relate to the purported sex tape, which was alluded to by another minor police quoted in the affidavit. The same minor said that the tape was sent around to people that they know. Rifle Police Department said in a Facebook post, this is an ongoing investigation. No further information will be released at this time. Police added, all suspects are considered innocent until adjudicated guilty in a court of law. The affidavit said the investigation began on February 20th when police were informed a woman reported someone had broken into her parked car and taken her wallet the day before. bad, bad. Shouldn't happen to you. Don't leave your wallet in the car. What's the matter with you?
Yeah, exactly.
The wallet contained a stolen card that was then used at four separate locations, February 19th and 20th.
Wait, she stole a card. It was in her wallet, and they stole it from her.
That's what I'm reading
in this article. I don't think that's the case, but
yeah, I think this is bad writing. I think is what we've got right now.
Yeah,
bad writing. A $717 purchase at the online shopping store Shein.com
was also
made, but that one was declined.
$717. Oh my god,
that's a lot of stuff.
That's
right?
A lot for Shein.
Yeah.
And that cracks me up that she's buying stuff from Shein.
She's like 15. You know? It's creepy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing's creepy. You know, the kid's creepy. The fact that he knocked up a minor is creepy.
Yeah.
You know, she's creepy. The husband's definitely creepy. You know, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Unless you are in a room with a locked door and no minors about... No one wants to see your willy. In fact, when it pops up in a moment of passionate good times, yeah, nobody wants to see it then either.
You still don't want to see it.
No.
Yep.
No. Feel it, maybe. See it. No. Nobody wants that. That is that sickly little sandworm begging for attention. Touch me. Touch me.
Sickly little sandworm.
You do. So you got to get your hooks into it and ride that thing until you're done. Liberating a planet? I don't know. I'll have to watch it again. But yeah, so the last article is the Boebert crime family must be stopped. Unfortunately for her, the only crime family making the news is hers.
Mm-hmm.
NBC's reporting on everything. Oopsie poopsie.
Starting with Lauren, the godmother herself. I mean, when was her arrest? Before she ran for Congress? Just before she ran for Congress?
Yeah, this is the best part is that they've got all of their mugshots up on this.
Yes.
On Crooks and Liars. There's Jason. There's Lauren. Yep. And there is Tyler.
Tyler.
A couple of Twitter responses on this one from Jay Black. Please give Lauren Boebert's family the same decency and respect in this time of crisis that she and the rest of the Republicans have given Hunter Biden.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And on that note, even fucking David Hogg, that glorious young man. I love that kid. Lauren Boebert's son is a teen parent and got himself arrested. She really is trying to be the new Sarah Palin. This dangerous illegal immigrant was arrested in Rifle, Colorado on 22 charges, including several felony charges relating to a string of property thefts. Oops. Nope. That's Lauren Boebert's criminal son. He's not an illegal immigrant at all. And then from Annie. Annie for Truth. Lauren Boebert is a disgusting piece of crap. Grooming her children. Ex-husband exposed his dick to underage girls at a bowling alley. Bobo has arrests and a rap sheet. Grabs a guy's dick at a theater with children present. Grandma at 36. Now her 18-year-old son has been arrested on 22 charges. And then Mayo finishes up with Lauren Boebert has failed miserably as a mother and as a congressperson. Colorado, please do the right thing and vote this trash out. Do I want to vote it out? I absolutely do. I absolutely do. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Sometimes, no matter what, you're a good person or a bad person, kids do dumb shit.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Yep. Is she a failure as a mother?
Yeah, fair.
Probably. But you know what? Her kid's got a mind of his own. And and at no point do I think she pushed him out the door and said, go rob some cars. You know what I mean?
That will help me.
Yeah. Yeah, at no point do I think Lauren Boebert was like, go knock up a teenager.
Yeah.
You know? Unless she was talking to herself in the mirror.
Oh,
I'm going to a play. I love the theater. It's great. I don't know why I'm doing a really shitty Jennifer Coolidge all of a sudden. But on that note, we're going to take a break and we get back on the other side. The C block, some good news. No, really, some good news.
Good.
Okay.
When it comes to a gun suicide attempt, all it takes is a moment.
My son, Ricky, took his life by the use of a firearm. It broke me, and I contemplated suicide. My grandson,
I was going to have to be here for him. I still own my firearm. I keep it in a safe because I want to keep my grandson and myself safe.
Store your guns locked, unloaded, and away from ammo. Hear more safe stories at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
This week on the world's greatest comic book podcast, remember Kenneth Mitchell, Dave Myers, Ramona Fraden, and Richard Lewis. Nick Offerman had a few words for the homophobes.
Kiss my ass.
In moving pictures, The Brother's Son has been canceled. Amazon and Paramount are getting sued.
They've probably got it coming.
Argyle is set for imminent streaming.
Ooh, I gotta get to the movies, you guys.
In comics, Alan Moore is about to publish his last comic, and Josh Gad is about to publish his first comic.
When one door opens, another door closes. No, that's not right.
Reviews Star Trek Picard's Academy, Iron Man, Women of Marvel, Feral, Uncanny Valley, and Once Upon a Time at the End of the World. All that in an X-Files reboot. Facefront, true believers, it's the world's greatest comic book podcast. Available Tuesdays on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Do you know what the four shortest words in the English language are? Is it in yet? So Matt Gaetz popped up again this week, you know, like a bad person.
Of course he did.
But his ongoing battle with almost everyone not named Donald Trump has added another congressman from the Republican Party into the mix. On Sunday, CNN published a story about the behind-the-scenes moves orchestrated by Mike Johnson and Rep. Max Miller of Ohio in order to convince Donald Trump to endorse incumbent Rep. Mike Bost of Illinois, who also happens to be an election denier. Trump recently threw his support behind Bost, who's seeking a sixth term representing Illinois' blood-red 12th congressional district, but Bost is facing a serious primary challenger from former gubernatorial candidate and state legislator Darren Bailey, who's been boosted by the famously irritating Matt Gaetz. Oh, what? What?
What?
Matt Gaetz didn't. Oh, no. He didn't do what Donald Trump did. I wonder if Donald knows. If there were any question about whether or not the Florida congressman's relentless attacks on fellow GOP colleagues have left a bad taste in their mouths, Miller told CNN that Trump's endorsement of Bost showed, quote, that Matt Gaetz always finds himself on the wrong side of history. He wants more chaos. He has mommy and daddy issues to work out. Gaetz, now this gets good, I promise. Just hang in there with me.
Mm-hmm.
I got a punchline coming in about 40 seconds. Gaetz responded by tweeting another news article writing, Rep. Max Miller says I have mommy issues. Does this seem like projection considering Max was accused of physically abusing his much older ex-girlfriend? Miller then responded by tweeting out a story about the ongoing ethics investigation into Gaetz and alleging and allegations of sex trafficking, drug use, and underage participants, writing, do you really want to talk about age-appropriate relationships, Matt Gaetz? Let's ask your ex-girlfriend what she thinks.
Wow.
Such a garbage person.
He really is.
But there's nobody to root for. There's nobody to root for. In the right-wing circular firing squad, both men seem to be engaged in a who's-the-bigger-dirtbag fact-finding mission. Miller dropped his defamation lawsuit against former Trump press secretary Stephanie Grisham this past summer. Grisham's public statements about how abusive he was remain on the record. Meanwhile, Gaetz' investigation seems to be just heating up. These warring men do share something in common. They continue to vie for Trump's affection and support. Come to think of it, that seems to be the common thread between most dirtbags in public office these days.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Yeah, mommy issues, he says. I don't have mommy issues. You got mommy issues. You dated an older lady. Okay, so? I dated older ladies almost my entire life. Granted, it wasn't until. Anyway. You okay, babe? Now we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
Yeah, Matt Gaetz caused a seizure.
Yep.
That's what it is. Just the thought of him with anybody just made the brain go, no.
That's too much.
Can't take it.
Liv, I'm going to say her name wrong, and I apologize. Osthus. Stage name, Viva Las Vegas.
Yeah, baby.
Is running to be mayor of Portland. Portland's best-known stripper is running on a platform of restoring hope to a beleaguered city. She's well-known in the Portland arts world as an outspoken sex workers advocate, as well as a published author, writer, and musician. After graduating from Williams College in 1997, she moved to Portland to pursue her music career. Soon after, began stripping. Because it's hard to make a living.
Yeah.
In music. She's been dancing ever since, often on the stage at Mary's Club. I don't know where that is. Osthus has written a memoir, starred in a documentary, and was the subject of a locally staged opera. Before any of that, she graced the cover of WW, I don't know what that is either, in 1997, when she, an anti-smut crusader, came into the newspaper's office to debate sex work. Now, 49 years old, Osthus, that's not a fair name. It's O-S-T-H-U-S, Osthus. It reminds me of trying to choke down Shakespeare when I was reading it out loud for the first time. Anyway, she wants to see a new form of government that features a professional city administrator running all city bureaus and regionally elected, 12-member city council that sets city policy and passes legislation. She's entering a race that already includes 3 of the 5 sitting city council commissioners, including one of her political mentors, Mingus Maps. I swear to God, this is a real article.
That's his name.
Hello, I'm Viva Las Vegas, here today with Mingus Maps.
Mingus Maps.
That sounds like something out of a fucking Harry Potter novel.
Exactly.
Oh, no, it's Mingus Maps. hold on, I have lost my place. Oh, with no legislative or policymaking experience, Osthus has a different pitch to Portlanders. Maybe the next mayor needs to be a symbol of optimism. I don't know what that was.
Somebody trying to reach me through Facebook.
Oh, I hate that. Rude.
Mm-hmm. It's always so weird.
It is weird because the ringtone's wrong.
Yeah, it sounds.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sounds off.
I saw it pop up. I'm like, oh shit, that's gonna talk.
Yep. Anyway, good article. Good article. Obviously, obviously, we got this from Clarity, but I like it. And it goes on to an interview, and I'm not going to read word for word an interview out loud, but it is interesting to see where she's coming from and what her ideas are. You know, for a political neophyte, I'm actually impressed with some of her answers, you know, and impressing me is not easy at all. So let's give her a shot.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch.
Hey, Jesse Ventura was a fun governor. And he was basically a sex worker, right? Running around those little shorts and that feather boa.
Oh, clearly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't think it's fair to punish someone, you know, for being in the sex work trade. No.
That's right.
Boy, my Ventura fell off there. I haven't done him in a long time. I'll have to work on that. I'll do better next week, guys. So this is my favorite headline of the week. From Wonkette. Sounds like James Comer stapled his donger to the wall again with his Hunter Biden deposition. Hunter Biden was in Congress last week testifying behind closed doors. Just what House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer has dreamed of his whole life, even before he got birthed on the farm with the other Kentucky lifestyle. I love this article so much. Of course, pretty much everybody is making fun of his impeachment investigation and calling him a failure and laughing at how his star witness is remanded to prison for lying to the FBI about Biden's and being a Russian double agent. Way to go, Comer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Steve Doocy on Fox and Friends last week made fun of Comer, saying a lot of Republican lawmakers say they've seen zero evidence of high crimes and misdemeanors. And right now, the Republicans do not have enough votes to impeach. After dozens of interviews and over $100,000 100,000 documents released to the committees, the Republicans have yet to produce any direct evidence of misconduct by Biden.
Yep.
Jesus. So, yeah. I don't know. It's from what we understand, the best exchange was between Gates and Hunter Biden, where Gates asked him if he was on drugs while he was working for the oil firm.
Yeah.
And Biden and Hunter's like, really? That's what you want to ask me? You want to look me in the eye and ask me? You of all people, you want to ask me this question? Okay. So he did. And Hunter Biden fucking owned him. And it's pretty good. Yep. Good news. Remember, this is good news. We're doing good news.
Yes.
Utah. Okay. Now look, I realize that with the first word, I've made you think something bad's about to get said, but no, every once in a while, something happens in Utah where I'm like, wait, what? Holy shit. That's good news. You okay? Okay. But Utah is going to become the largest no-kill state in the country, says Governor Spencer Cox, who, you know, apparently feels that murdering teenage children
is okay.
Doesn't count. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Cox. Every fucking suicide is your fault. You and fucking Kara Berkeland. Just saying. But yeah, dogs and best friend supporters and staff filled the hall of the governor's Tuesday to celebrate Spencer Cox declaring 2024 is a no-kill shelter year in Utah. Whereas achieving no-kill for all of Utah's animal shelters is within reach and would make Utah the largest no-kill state and the first no-kill state in the West, Cox wrote. Now, therefore, he didn't write this. You know how many of these things I wrote when I was working for the city? And I was only there a year. I wrote like 12 of these goddamn things. Now, therefore, I, Spencer J. Cox, governor of the state of Utah, do hereby declare 2024 as a no-kill shelter year in Utah. You know, it's not bad. It's not bad.
It's a good thing. We need the other side of it to happen. I mean, the news showed, like, when they announced this, they were talking to somebody. There was another story going on about the no-kill stuff. People trying to get the no-kill stuff done. There's a dog that's basically been in the shelter for 900 days.
Aww.
3 years in the shelter. You know, that's just not... We need people not...
spay and
adopting
neuter.
We need people, one, not adopting animals and immediately taking them back to the shelter. It's true. Like, if you can't handle having an animal in your home, don't get an animal.
What if the animal's an asshole?
What's that?
Nothing. Go ahead.
What if the animal's an asshole?
You get him home and it turns out he's a prick.
Well, so that has to do with parenting.
No, I'm not talking about a puppy. I'm talking about a dog. You've heard this little fucker go off every goddamn time we record.
Yep. Ugh. Well, that wasn't originally your dog. So I say it goes back to the parenting of the dog.
Yeah.
The raising of the dog. The same thing happens, you know, with cats, with dogs, with birds. They'll be little assholes if they didn't get raised right. You know, if they didn't get taught how they were supposed to behave when they were little.
Yeah.
So no, that's one. And then the other is adopt from shelters, please. Please go and adopt from shelters and look at older animals, not just puppies and kittens.
Senior adoption is a great way to give an animal the best couple of years of its life. Yes, yes, tragedy hits you more often. Yes, you cry more often. But imagine what that dog's life's going to be like if it weren't for you picking up a senior dog. If I had a house with a fenced yard, I would absolutely be fostering. No doubt about it. You know, I can't because I live in a fucking apartment. But, you know, what are you going to do? A lot of Utah animal shelters are already no-kill. Some of those, though, it's no kill for cats, not for dogs. But trap, neuter, and return policies and community cat programs have helped shelters save the lives of cats. Community cats are just what they sound like. The community provides food and water for the cat while the cat roams around the neighborhood.
Apparently, we're a community of one here at our house because we've got a community colony here. That we did the trap neuter release or yeah. trap. Well, it was trap neuter return. They all came back to us, and my wife still feeds them all. So,
does not surprise me that she likes cats.
We love them. But I like cats that you know are sociable, want to at least walk up and say hello to them or pet them for a minute. Not these feral cats that just run away the second I walk out the door. I mean, they like her because she brings them food. So, you know, that's a different story.
Yeah.
But
I don't know, man. There's something in my mind's eye about you sitting around in your kilt with a glass of scotch and a nice woolly wolfhound next to you. I mean, it makes a great picture.
It makes a great picture, or having a Scotty dog sleep on my feet or something. That makes a great picture. But,
I do like Scotty dogs.
Yeah, I do like cats a little more.
I think your cats would eat a Scotty dog for breakfast.
At least one of them would. The other would toy with it until it just gave up life altogether. It would just be like, I'm done. I can't handle this anymore. This cat is a bully.
That's fair. So Oregon is giving something a try. Do you think Clarity helped out with the links this week?
I think she did a little bit, yeah.
Oregon is going to give homeless young people $1,000 a month to get back on their feet. The state's DHS says recipients report spending money on housing and food. The program is among dozens nationwide trying to alleviate poverty with a guaranteed basic income.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon has an insane homelessness problem. I mean, it was one of the things I saw. I can't remember if it was on the news or if it was a documentary of some kind where basically people are doing conversions of vans and box trucks and all of that. And then just fucking parking because they can't afford anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, there's tent cities everywhere.
It's everywhere in the country, too. We have a major housing crisis in this country. More and more I see, you know, other buildings getting torn down to make even more apartments. And at first I'm like, fuck it. That's just giving fucking Ken Ivory more money. But at the same time, I'm like, well, you're knocking down a duplex that would house maybe 10 people total. And you're putting up an apartment complex that would house 100 people. That's a gain.
Yeah, the problem is that the duplex was priced affordably and the apartment is not.
And will not be. Will not be priced affordably ever. Yeah.
So, over 100?
I think of them giving $1,000 a month to these kids. They're like, oh, they're spending it toward housing. I'm like, hey, if 8 of us pool together, we can afford a 1-bedroom apartment in Portland.
Yeah no shit. So far, 120 young people across the state are receiving the direct cash payments. The report says about 75 of the recipients are in Multnomah County, home to Portland. Mm-hmm. Initial payments for a participant in the program started February of 2023 and are scheduled to run until January of 2025. It's basically for homeless people between the ages of 18 and 24 who have, quote, an intention to become housed, end quote. I mean, this is cool. This is super fucking cool. I wonder about the homeless people over 24.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's me if I miss a paycheck. But no, I think this is pretty cool. And you know what? My biggest fear for it is when Utah figured out how to work on the homelessness problem and nearby had it licked. They then abandoned it after it proved to work. They're just like, hey, that's
successful. They're like, okay, we're done.
Well, we've lost Tiffany again, but at least she's wandered over to the bed.
Mm-hmm.
She can. This fucking sucks.
Yeah,
I hate it.
That's the thing with Utah is like they figured it out, they licked it, and then said, "Forget it, we're not going to keep paying for this."
Yeah.
And then guess what happened? The homeless problem got worse.
Yep. Yeah. As it does. Okay. We're going to call that a show.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we got to the last link. Everything else is for the Patreon patrons. There's some pretty good shit in there this week.
Mm-hmm.
Including my second favorite headline of the week, which I will read to Patreon patrons over at Patreon, Patreon.com/defenmedia, D-E-F-E-N. For those of you that don't know, Patreon is P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Patreon.com, defenmedia. I got an email about that. I can't find patreon.com. It's not what it says it is. I can't find you on here. Like, that's not.
Don't go to patreon.com. It's Patreon.
Patreon. It's probably Patreon because someone already owned Patreon.
That I was thinking the exact same thing as I said it. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so we got the big fundraiser going on. You can go over to theleftshow.com, click on it there, watch the little video, whatever you got to do, whatever you want to do. Do that. And then we've also got Patreon. Super simple. You know, it's like $10 a month. You just come in, you get all the content that we create every week that we record. That other people don't get. We hide it behind a paywall so that only those special few have access at patreon.com/defendmedia. Aside from that, leftshow.com, we're selling t-shirts on the website, everything else. And if any of you have a moment on your podcast delivery system of choice, want to give us a rate and a review, those always help as well. Okay. All right. Anything left to add, sir?
Nothing left for me.
All right. Well, let's call that a show. Thanks, guys. Let's all do what the British lady says.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/defenmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.